Welcome to Policy Talks. I'm delighted to have Mr. Gigi Mamon today. He is the CEO of Sadhan. It's a self-regulating microfinance institution in India, and he has a long stint in the microfinance sector. In fact, he's a go-to person when it comes to microfinance. So thank you so much, Mr. Mamon, to join us on this Policy Talks. This is a podcast series that we are having for the practitioners and the people who are involved in public policy in India. So I'm really happy to have you here on our program today. So, Mr. Mamon, if you could tell us, you know, a little bit about your journey, how have you come into the sector? What has been the challenges that you have faced so far in your personal and professional growth?
See, I did my graduation in agriculture and did my post-graduation from Indian Agriculture Research Institute, Delhi, Pusa Institute. So that was in 1985. So when I completed my post-graduation, there was a campus recruitment by NABARD, probably one of the earliest campus recruitment, I would say. Then I was in NABARD for almost 37 years. During that period, I worked various places in various capacities. I headed three states, Rajasthan, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana. Then in 2015, when Mudra scheme was launched by the government, when the new government came into power, they had this program of supporting the micro enterprises. So they created an organization called Mudra Limited, Micro Units Development and Refinance Agency. So, and I was selected as the first CEO of Mudra. And in fact, my journey in microfinance started from then. And you may be also knowing in 1992, NABARD came out with one innovative program called SHG Bank Linkage Program, which is the largest microfinance program, I would say. In the world, you have today under SHG Bank Linkage Program, more than 14 crore households are linked to that, and about nearly 2 lakh crores of loan outstanding is there. So that's one of the largest microfinance program. Thereafter, I was there for 3 years, in fact, piloting the Mudra project. I was the first CEO of that. Thereafter, I went back to NABARD and I was posted as the managing director of one of our subsidiary company, which is a microfinance institution called NAFINS. So that was how my journey went. And at the end of I retired from NABARD, and after my retirement, Sadhan wanted one CEO. Sadhan is a microfinance association. It's also an SRO, as you rightly said, self-regulatory organization. So they were looking for a CEO and they requested whether I can join. That's how I came.
That's a wonderful journey. If I would place, the evolution of microfinance in India, I know that the experiment in Grameen Bank in Bangladesh was the origin of it, if I'm correct in saying so. Or did India's microfinance started in a similar time with Bangladesh? Where do you place it?
See, we had some form of microfinance activities happening earlier also. It's not that we did not have. If you know about Seva Bank, which came in 1974 by Ilaben Burt, that was a microfinance activity. There, what she did was that she mobilized the women, especially those who are into small business, small micro activities and all. They mobilized them into a cooperative. And it was an exclusive women bank we created, Seva Bank. And through Seva Bank, small loans were given to them. That is one of the earliest initiatives. We have the experience of regional rural banks. That was also exclusively for the rural people, for giving them the small loans. So we were not absolutely new to that. But yes, you are right when you say that the microfinance which we talk today, where basically the loan is given through a group of 5 members or a 6 member groups, basically the joint liability groups. That kind of a concept, of course, it started in Bangladesh. And let me tell you, I had the fortune of visiting Bangladesh recently. I met Professor Muhammad Yunus. I had an interaction with him also. He was the father of this kind of an activity. And he was narrating how it started. So definitely it was Bangladesh which has shown the way for the world as far as this kind of a microfinance activity is concerned. As I said earlier also, NABARD came up with a microfinance activity, or India came up with a microfinance activity, which was SHG Bank Linkage Program, where women were mobilized into bigger groups, maybe 10 to 15 groups or even 20 members were there in the group. And there the concept was slightly different. We said that there should be savings first, then credit. But if you see the other kind of microfinance, it is credit is the word. It is a basically a credit product. People come together for taking the loans under a joint liability concept. Each one is liable for others. Whereas in SG Bank Linkage Program, it was savings first. They were asked to make savings first. And once they do a saving for about 5-6 months, or they have to do continuously, in fact, that savings they you have to make use of for internal lending. And that internal lending gives them the confidence and strength how they can manage the finance. So once they are completing about 6 months of time, then the SHGs are linked to the banks. So that was a concept we started in SHG Bank Linkage Program. So two advantages we have. We had a good network of banking structure, unlike probably the Bangladesh. Probably they didn't have that kind of a banking network. So we had a good network of banking. So that was something which we had. Secondly, we were also, our cooperative structure is also quite, I would say, robust. So people were knowing that kind of a association coming together for the purpose of self-help and mutual help.
Yeah. If I have to ask you three major challenges India is facing in terms of microfinance sector, what would that be?
Let me be frank with you. One of the things which was one of the major problem which we face is that microfinance is still considered to be something exploitive. People feel that the rate of interest is high, 25%, 26% high. It's an exploitive business. It's another way of money lending. Let me tell you, it is not so. Because here, the entire money is borrowed money or investors' money. So it's a costly resource. So naturally, you get funds around, I would say, in nothing less than 12%. 12 to 15%, even NBFCs charge up to 18% for their lending to microfinance institutions. So average, if you take 13, 14 or 15% of cost of funds, plus their operational cost, which runs to around 7-8% because of their, it's a feet on street model where people go to the field, they meet the persons, do the transaction at their doorstep. So that makes that an expensive one. So 25-26% is an absolutely. So what is the next option? Next option is go to a bank money lender. And money lender, how much it charges? Anything you can't imagine. It could be 60%, 100%, 20%. So this is one challenge the microfinance sector is facing. So at the earliest moment people start talking, it's an exploitative one. Especially I would say that some of the political leaders, for the purpose of their own vested interest, they make announcements, they make statements which causes a disruption to the microfinance activity, especially the repayment gets affected. Because if a leader says that don't repay the money, they're all exploiting you, people will stop paying the money. So this is number one. Number two is that the raising of funds, especially for a smaller MFI. As I said, they depend on the borrowed money. So borrowing, for getting money from the banks, many times it becomes a challenge, especially for a smaller institution. So that is the second challenge.
The third
challenge is the human resources. As I said, it's a feet on street model. So you need large number of people to come into the play. So many times you don't get the right kind of people because it's a tough job going to the field, going for sourcing the application, doing the collection activities. All these things is a tough job. And let me also tell, they're not that well paid. So people don't stick to microfinance institution many a times. The attrition level in microfinance sector is more than 35%. So people come and they spend some time, they find it difficult, they may move to another institution or they move out to some other institution. So these are the three major constraints of challenges, I would say.
Tell us a little bit about Sadhan and the Mudra Yojana that government has come up, and I think there has been some successes been reported. Tell us what has been the initial successes and what is the way forward for your institution?
Sadhan, basically, it's an association of microfinance institutions. It started in 1999. In fact, this is the 25th year. We are entering into the 25th year of our existence. So it started in 1999 when the SHG Bank movement were happening. When microfinance lending started. So that time the leaders of the microfinance felt that there should be some organization which will take care of the requirements of the sector, as well also do a kind of a self-regulatory kind of a control on the institutions. So that's how the Sadhan came in as a development finance institution. It's basically an association of the microfinance institutions. So it's an industry body, industry association, I can say, just like your FICCI or IBA or something of that sort. So we need to take care of the needs of the members, especially doing policy advocacy, doing capacity building, those kind of things. So that is one part of it. When Reserve Bank of India came up with a regulatory structure in 2011, they also said that, see, there are so many microfinance institutions in the country. Everything cannot be controlled by the Reserve Bank of India. So they said that let there be one or two self-regulatory organizations. So they appointed Sadhan as a self-regulatory organization. So we are supposed to keep a watch on the microfinance institutions and also keep RBA posted about the information. So there is a regular reporting to RBA. So we are a self-regulatory organization. We also do a lot of developmental activities, so that is the third activity we do. So this is about the Sadhan. And let me also tell you, recently, last year after I joined, we changed the mandate and we changed the vision, mission of statements of the Sadhan. Because earlier it was an association of development finance institutions. So it was mainly on the microfinance activities what they were focused on. I felt that probably we should also have a change to make it more inclusive. Because this is a microfinance sector, if you see, they are addressing the needs of the bottom of the pyramid, the people who are in the lower strata of the people. They are affected by all kinds of difficulties. Even if climate change, when we are talking about that they are the most vulnerable people. They talk about any other issues, they come. So we said that there should be all the impact players who addresses the needs of the bottom of the pyramid, they should be brought under the fold. So we are now become an institution and our tagline is fostering inclusive impact financing. So that's it. That's about Sadhan. Now coming to Mudra. Mudra was a great initiative which government started because the micro enterprises always have a problem of getting funding support. We have more than 6 crore micro enterprises in the country. Only 5 to 6% only used to get loan from the formal banking system. So they have to depend on the informal system for their credit needs. So then when the new government came in 2014, they said that there should be some mechanism to provide funding support to the micro enterprises. That's how the Mudra was started. So our main focus was to see how the loans are extended to the smaller institutions. So we partnered with banks, we partnered with NBFCs, we partnered with NBFC MFIs. And we launched out the schemes. There were 3 schemes were there. One is loans up to 50,000 Shishu. Then another category is Kishore, which is from 50,000 to 5 lakh. And third category is Tarun, from 5 lakh to 10 lakh. It is just like a human, I would say, human life, you know, a child to a teenager to an adult. So Shishu to Kishore to Tarun. It was named like that mainly because it was envisaged that the enterprise should grow. This is the category. So now if you see, after almost 8 years, there are 41 crore accounts have been financed under this scheme, with all the 3 categories together. Of course, there are multiple financing must have happened to the same kind of institution because working capital needs are an important requirement. So definitely there would be multiple lending must have. So if I say 41 crore means it's not 41 crore enterprises, but 41 crore accounts were financed. And it's about 23 lakh crores, 23 trillion Indian rupee has been extended as credit. Around 8 crore accounts which are financed under 41 crore are new accounts. So probably we can say that these 8 crore accounts could be new starting first. So they would have created that much employment. Others, of course, they were existing ones, they were getting funding. And as I said, you know, there is a gradual journey from Shishu to Tarun, so they need funding for growing that. So that's how it is.
Interesting. You had a pan-India experience and you've seen their regional differences also north, east, west, south. What has been some of the striking differences that you see from different regions of India? How do you see that?
See, one is that the credit culture is more in the south side. That's how you find, you take any program or any lending activities, most of the funds go towards the southern states, especially Andhra, Telangana, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, even Kerala for that matter. So credit culture has been stronger as far as South is concerned. That is weaker in, I would say, eastern side, definitely the northeastern side. That is one thing. Number two, Northeast is definitely challenged because of the connectivity issues, because of the geographical terrain of that area, because it's all hilly areas. So reaching them is difficult. Even for microfinance, it doesn't reach them. Because somebody has to reach a village means he has to walk for an entire day. I mean, that kind of, it's connectivity is a major issue. So Northeast is definitely a very challenged area. So we need to look at something differently. This digital coming into play, technology coming into play, things can become a little more better. So that is one thing. Then northwest side, that is Punjab, Haryana, Rajasthan, and all, I would say it's more agriculturally developed areas. And central India, of course, central India has also a problem, especially the Bundelkhand, the Vidarbha areas, the Marathwadas, or those areas, Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, those kind of areas are having its own difficulties because of the law and order issues, mainly because of the Naxalite movements happening there, because of the lesser developmental activities happening in that area. They are more challenged, so they need much more closer attention.
So last question to you, what is the priority for you for next 5 years? How do you see the roadmap and for Sadhan and as well as the microfinance institutions in India?
Let me tell you, yesterday before coming here, I had sent a letter to Reserve Bank of India. Two things I have requested for, based on my experience, what I have seen in Bangladesh. One is that there should be some mechanism for funding to the smaller institutions. So dedicated mechanism has to be there. We have institutions like NABARD, SIDBI, MUDRA, for that matter. But they are all having diverse focuses. It's not only exclusively microfinance. Microfinance is one among the many activities they do. There's no focus on exclusively to microfinance. Probably the MUDRA, which we started in 2015, probably after seeing what is happening in PKSF in Bangladesh, I felt that probably it would have been good to develop MUDRA as an exclusive institution supporting the microfinance activities. So this is one area which needs to be definitely looked at. Number two is that, see, another point which I requested the Reserve Bank yesterday when I wrote the letter is that, why can't we allow the microfinance institution, especially those regulated by Reserve Bank at least, allow them to take deposits, savings? See, we interacted with the people in Bangladesh, so we asked them, are you finding it as a burden? Are you finding it as a challenge to repay the loan as well as providing the savings? They said, no, this is helping us to having some kind of a savings habit in us, to keep aside some money, otherwise we would not have had money kept aside like that. Even one guy said that, see, these are all money, one of the MFI person said, the money which we are accessing, our money would have kept as idle and as a debt fund, because they would have kept it under some pillow or some kind of place inside the house. It would not have come to the national economy. So this, we are accessing that funds to the national economy and trying to make use of that. So that is an excellent thing. And secondly, there is also, by having the deposit taking IFIALO, it helps MFI to get cheaper resources, and that will help in providing the loans at a cheaper rate or a lesser rate. Thirdly, it also has created a binding between the borrower and the MFI. Somebody cannot just run away with that because they have some kind of an association in the form of giving it. So this is another area which probably I would be working on. And the third one is that, how to create a cadre of people for the microfinance institution. Just something like having a training mechanism to keep a stock of reserves of people available to the microfinance institution, because as I said, human resource is a major challenge to the MFIs. So that is what I would be seeing.
It was wonderful to have you and listen to you. It's mesmerizing to understand also the trajectory that you have had, sir. Thank you so much, Mr. Menon, for being here.
Thank you so much.
And all powers to you.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. It was a great interacting with you.
Thank you so much.